We're going to start tonight with a little clip from The Deadliest Catch. Now, this is pretty tame. I saw some great clips, but it had way too many swear words that were bleeped out. Even though they were bleeped out, I so was not comfortable putting it up on the screen for us. So this just is a little tame, but it went from a lot of swear words to like prayer moments. I'm like, this was so weird. So anyway, check out this clip.
Living the dream today, baby.
If it ain't hell, they ain't happy. Deadliest Catch, Tuesdays at 9.
Oh, you couldn't pay me enough money
to stand.
It's all
new on Discovery.
On that trawler with those waves. Like, seriously, who would do that? Be honest. Who would honestly stand on that trawler with those waves coming? You are so honest tonight. Yeah, I think, well done, Kiri. I believe you that you would. So give it up for Kiri. Ben would do it. He would absolutely love it. I'd believe you too, Ben. You would do that for sure. Me, not a chance. Wouldn't do that. You know, when I look at the whole idea of a big boat in a small sea, but with even bigger waves crashing over it, it kind of gives me at times a little picture of what the church can ultimately feel like. Sometimes it really does feel like that the waves of secular Australia are crashing over the boat of the church, and it wants to either sweep us overboard or absolutely crush the church. That's what it feels like. You see, secular Australia says that you've got to jam every single experience in this life because there's nothing beyond the grave. It says that you must have a lot of money, you must have a lot of experiences, you must be healthy, wealthy, and wise, you must make beautiful children, your life must look fantastic, and we must jam that all in to 80 years of living. And if you live to 80, that's 2.5 billion seconds of life. So you need to cram into your life every experience you can. That's what secular Australia says. But disciples of Jesus, we go, whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 no. Life goes way beyond the grave. And if you follow Jesus, you'll be dancing on streets of gold in God's new heaven and new earth. And you know what? You don't have to jam every single experience into this life. In fact, we will go without for the sake of another so that they could know the good news of Jesus and sit on a stage like Jillian tonight and proclaim that Christ's love, it changes you. And we can give up, we can go without, we can count the cost, we can pick up the cross of Jesus Christ because we don't have to have every single experience in this life. Does that make sense? And sometimes in this construct of the church, it can feel like the waves of secular Australia are breaking over us. And it can make us feel like, whoa, 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 are we okay? Can we keep standing in the storm? Can we keep steering the ship in the right direction? And absolutely we can. In fact, I want to pick up where Pastor Andrew left off with last week. I'm going to quote him. This is what Andrew said at the very end of his message. I thought it was brilliant. So I'm just going to quote Andrew. And this is what he said at the end of last week. What kind of church are we going to be? What kind of people are we going to be? I want us to be a church that when people look at us, they see reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. I want to be a church that when people look at us, they see male and female acknowledged as different but fundamentally equal. I want to be a church that when people look at us, they see people with all kinds of jobs and economic status and social status, but who treat each other equally, who love each other equally, respect and honour each other equally. I want us to be a church that when people look at us, they see a family, forgiving, reconciling, and walking with each other through life. And I want us to be a church that when people look at us, they see hope. Well, great statement, mate. Well done. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think, would align with such a statement about God's church in this world. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote it this way in verse 10 of chapter 3. God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, which is ultimately saying in this spiritual realm where there is evil, that the church is to shine bright, that Jesus is alive and the only way to the maker of the universe. But what really astounds me is that you and I We represent God's wisdom to the world, our life, the choices we make, our behavior, our response to secular Australia, the way we choose to follow Jesus, our love, our sacrifice, our example. We are the wisdom of God to the world. I'm just like, whoa, is God crazy? Does he really, really know us? Well, for Paul, he truly saw what God was ultimately doing. He was bringing together disciples of Jesus to show the whole world that the creator of the universe loves each person. You have never locked eyes onto a person that doesn't matter to God or that Jesus didn't die for. You see, we as the church, we are a conduit of God's love and hope to the world. Now, I was meant to cut this, but I thought, now this would be awesome. Because like, if like anyone falls asleep in the front row, you're going to like lose your head, Jace. Like seriously, I've seen you fall asleep a few times. So, joking. So, here is a piece of conduit and electrical cable goes into that. So, you know, we go home and we just turn on our lights. We don't think much of it. But like seriously, there is in your house conduit like this underground with cable in it, okay? And so this conduit actually carries the cable so you can turn on the light. Well, in a very similar way, we, the church, you and I, we are a conduit for God to bring his rule, his reign, his love to this world. You and I, we are this conduit, the church, the manifold wisdom of God, so that the whole world can see, both the physical and the spiritual, that Jesus Christ is alive. And if you believe in him, you'll have life forever and you'll have access to the greatest power of all, God. Paul says that in Jesus and through faith in him, we can go to God, run to God with freedom and confidence. Freedom and confidence. You can run to God, fall at his feet, and have access to the greatest power of the universe, the one that made the universe. And then we, together, we get to be a conduit for God to bring his rule and reign to this world. That's you. That's me. That's the body of Christ, the diverse body of Christ, all working together. You have gifts, you have skills, you have talents, you have abilities, but you have the love of God in your heart. And when you put that together, and when we serve together, we become the manifold wisdom of God to the world. And when the seas are raging and the waves are crashing, we can stand firm. We can steer the ship of God's church through whatever storm because we have the love of God and the power of God in our hearts. And together we make our stand. It takes a whole crew to captain a ship, not just one person. And God wants you. He wants you to carry his wisdom to the world. That's seriously. He wants you. And he's wired you in such a way, and he has brought you into this church community for a reason. You're not here by an accident. You're here for a reason. God wants to use you, but he wants to use you together, shoulder to shoulder. I've heard it said that the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, I've got to say that it actually breaks my heart when the church looks nothing like the hope of the world. So right now, you're going to get a little bit of an insight into my pastor's heart. Now, I do want to put a caveat to say I believe, I'm really proud of how CBC is going. I think we're going exceptionally well across all the ministries and across the life of this church. I believe God's using us in a great way. This is not just about CBC, but this is a grief upon my heart when the church is not the hope of the world. It really, really grieves me when the church cannot reconcile relationships within. When Jesus said that the world, you'll be known as a disciple of Jesus by the way you love one another. It really grieves my heart when the church neglects the poor and neglects social action and social justice. It grieves me when the church fails to create an environment for us to be able to grow up into greater maturity in Christ. It grieves me when leaders abuse power and leave victims traumatized. It grieves me when we have such a love for money and pleasures more than God. It grieves me when there is infighting and quarreling and gossip and slander within God's church. And it really, really grieves me when pastors are crushed and discouraged by the very leaders that they trusted. Grieves my heart when the church is not the hope of the world. So how can this local church, CBC, how can we be the hope of the world? How can we together be God's wisdom to the world? How can we do it? Well, we need to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul gives us a very good insight. Have a listen to verse 14. Let me reread it for us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When was the last time that you prayed for someone like that? I've been a pastor for over 20 years, and I'm not quite sure I've ever heard anybody pray like that for another person. When was the last time somebody said to you, you know, this week, I got down on my knees and I kneeled before the Father and I was thinking just about you. And I came before the Father and I prayed that you would be filled with a power greater than yourself, a strength within to overcome. And I prayed that you would be rooted in Christ, so that you can grasp how high and wide and deep is the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. When was the last time that we prayed for each other like that? Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. So what's the reason? What's the reason that would move Paul to his knees to pray like that? Well, we've just spent 3 weeks unpacking chapters 1 and 2. And I trust that it's been just a rich treasure box of God's grace and mercy. I just want to pick out one verse for us in Ephesians chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We were once dead in our transgressions, like dead, spiritually dead. You can have all the money in the world, but still be spiritually dead. You can have all the fame in the world, but you can be still spiritually dead. You can be super religious, but still spiritually dead. Until God the Father breathes the Holy Spirit into your life and soul, it's only at that moment that we become living spiritual beings. And that takes faith. A step of faith, which is this: Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me for my sin, my rebellion. Jesus, I want to follow you. God, I need you. Whatever is true, and for you in that moment, just reaching out for God, it is in those moments that God breathes his breath and he makes you alive spiritually. And guess what? Living people move. Living people move. And what did Paul do with his movement? was the first thing that Paul did in reflection of saying that we are now spiritually alive in Christ? What was the first thing that Paul did? He knelt before the Father. He prayed that those in Ephesus, that they would have a strength to overcome the waves that are going to crash on their soul. He prayed that they would be rooted in Christ's love and that they could grasp the love of God. He was begging the Father in heaven that he would breathe his power on the church in Ephesus. He was praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And I ask you again, why don't we pray like that for one another? I think it's profound, this little moment for us, because prayer is accessing the greatest power source in the universe. And I think we underestimate that. Prayer is accessing the greatest power in the universe. Who likes a good milkshake? All right. Who's a strawberry person? Yeah, okay. Caramel? Yeah. Banana? Ooh. Chocolate? Yeah, look at the chocolate lovers. Love your chocolate milkshake. I'm definitely more strawberry, for sure. So we're going to go with the strawberry theme. So if I, you know, let's go fresh strawberries, because that's cool. But fresh strawberries always needs a ton of sugar, because otherwise it's a bit, like, bitter. So let's just go with strawberries, fresh strawberries, but then a ton of sugar, because that, like, you know, just makes it better. Heaps of ice cream, right? Heaps of ice cream, then the milk, right? Then the milk, and then we put it on, and then, like, if this thing isn't plugged in, then no amount of mind power is going to kind of start this puppy up, right? I can't just make it start up by just some kind of imagination. Obviously, this has to go into a power source, and then it has to be on. I think far too often in our discipleship, we underestimate prayer, like it doesn't really work or it doesn't really matter. But a Christian that's not praying is like not being plugged in. And you wonder why the waves crash upon your soul and you feel so fragile in Christ. Friend, you need to plug in to the greatest power source known to humanity. And that is prayer. When you plug in to God through prayer, that is the power to overcome. But when you plug in to pray for someone else, you are praying that heaven would open and be poured out upon that person. And wouldn't it be just an incredible faith community if we are constantly praying for one another? Just look to the person to your right and to your left. Just look around. This week, what would it take for you to kneel before the Father and pray for two things that the Apostle Paul points out? The first is this: to be filled with Christ's power. Let's have a look. In verse 16, Paul says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." Jesus, who has all the authority, is the one who breathes into our lungs. Let's just do a little quick little exercise. Do it with me. It's always therapeutic. Let's just do a deep breath, right? Let's do it with me. We can just do one, can't we? Ready? Deep breath. Ready? And breathe out. I want to put before you that the only reason why you could breathe like that deep breath, is because our Father in heaven has willed it so that you can actually take that breath in this moment. And that's what Paul says. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth and derives its name." Every name comes back to the Creator. The Creator has willed for you to take that deep breath. And therefore, Paul says, I pray. And so I want to make this statement. If you want to stand as a disciple of Jesus in the ocean of ideas and in the storm of secular Australia, if you want to actually stand, then you first must kneel. If the church wants to stand, if the church wants to stand, then we must first kneel. Kneel to pray for each other with a real desperation. I always think about these three levels of desperation in my kids. Like when Micah just trips over and grazes his knee and he just kind of, well, it's not Micah, because he doesn't really respond to pain. Let's go with Caleb, like for integrity. So Caleb falls over and he grazes his knee and he cries. The only reason why I didn't say Micah is that this kid's nutter. The other day, no, this was like last year, I was kind of like, I could clearly remember just watering the garden, and it was unfortunate. He was running to play with the next door neighbors. I pulled the hose at the wrong time. It became like this tripwire. And so he was running down the stairs. He full on tripped over, went head first in the pavement, got like a serious egg. And I said, Micah, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm all right. And he just ran off next door. I went, it's okay to cry, mate. He goes, no, it's all good, Dad. Runs off. And he's like, seriously got an egg on his head. I'm like, that kid's crazy. But Caleb, no, he's going to cry. So he falls over and grazes his knees and kind of like cries instantly, right? But then there's that second level where it's like the dead of night and one of your kids has a nightmare. And there's that kind of scream of like, Dad! You can't ignore that. It wakes you up. It's a quiet house. You are out of the bed and you are right there to help your child. But then there's the third level of desperation. And I have seen this quite a few times in my kids. They fall over and or something happens. And it's really quite traumatic. And that child kind of takes a breath of air, a couple of breaths of air like this, just goes, and you know it's coming. It's kind of like, it's about to come, it's building, and then it all comes out. Have you ever seen that in a child before? That desperation where you kind of they're working up and they're breathing, and then it comes out. We need that level of desperation when it comes to praying for each other. Why? I'll get to that in a moment. That's the level of desperation that we would pray, that we would be strengthened in Christ, that Christ's power would come in you, filled with Christ's power. The second thing I just want to point out is that we'll be being rooted in Christ's love. Paul says, and I pray that you may, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Being rooted in Christ. Ever tried digging out a tree root before? Seriously hard work, right? Huge tree root doesn't come out easy. Lots of sweat, lots of blisters, lots of struggles, maybe not so many nice words, but it's hard to get out an old tree root, right, in the ground. Paul's praying that you would be rooted in Christ. So no weed will choke you, no wind would blow you over, but you would be rooted in Christ. And that's what we're praying desperately for each other. I think many have walked away from faith. Seriously. What's really challenging is that it's one in five. One in five of you in 5 years' time may not be following Jesus anymore. It pains me to say that some of you here tonight may possibly walk away from Jesus. Paul prays that you would be rooted in Christ. Not blown over, not choked out by worry, but standing firm in Christ. Paul Paul says this very strange little statement. He says, I pray that you'll grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Wow. But to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I find that a strange thing to say because it doesn't kind of make sense on face value. I was left with this question. How could you know something that is beyond knowledge? Isn't that a bit of a brain teaser? How do you know something that's beyond knowledge? What is Paul trying to say? I was sitting in that for a little while this week. And this is what I came to. The love of God. It's not just knowledge for me to pass on to you. The love of God is to be experienced. It's not knowledge. It's about an experience of the love of God that's high and wide and deep. You see, God is not just some sort of idea. God is to be experienced. And Paul's prayer is that you would experience the love of God. I really pray for that for my boys a lot. I love teaching my boys. I love sitting down most nights going over the Bible. But when I'm praying for my boys, I'm praying that they would experience the love of God. Jillian shared a testimony tonight. Thank you, Jillian. Brave. About experiencing the love of God. You know, when you experience that love, you want to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. You want to do what it takes for others to know that love. You are sold out no matter the cost so that others can know that love. For the Apostle Paul, he knew that if the church is going to stand, then it first must kneel. Paul knew that the church was going to be the manifold wisdom of God to this world, to the ocean of ideas, that he had to kneel, plug into the greatest power source, and pray that the church in Ephesus would be strengthened in power, rooted in Christ and his love. I just want to encourage you that that is what will enable us to stand as Caringbah Baptist Church. If we kneel and desperately pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ with the same desperation that Paul had for the church in Ephesus. Great quote from Spurgeon says this, "No one can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me." And when you know the power of prayer, plugging in to the greatest power source, that quote comes alive. No one can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me. So why is this so, so important? Why is kneeling so, so important? Let's have a look just in verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church." To him who is able to do immeasurably more. Wow. For you to turn away from Jesus, for you to not know the love of God, for you to be uprooted, for you to be so crushed and discouraged that you turn away. The kingdom of God will be less because it's God's wisdom that he would bring us together to be his wisdom to the world. God can do so much more than we can even dare to understand through your life. And for you to just pack it in and walk away, we would be a lesser of a church community. Paul is desperate because, you see, when you're alive in Christ, you have a potential to influence maybe just one, maybe thousands, but you have a potential to do a great work of God, and it is a tragedy when a little one of God's turns away, because God can do more through us than we could ever dare to imagine. And it, you know where it starts? It starts with you praying desperately for your brother and sister in Christ. That's where it starts. If the church is going to stand, then we first must kneel. We're going to praise God. And then it would be awesome tonight if we could start to pray for one another desperately. Why don't we do that, Sam? Let's sing out God of miracles. Our faith in Christ is a miracle. Why don't we just sing out? And I'd love to come back and give us an opportunity to start a prayer for one another, strengthened in Christ, rooted in Him. Thanks, Sam. Tonight, if you just want to reach out to Jesus, maybe you're not plugged in to Jesus Christ at all. Maybe you've plugged yourself out. Maybe faith is just not even in the forefront of your mind, but tonight the Spirit has been stirring within you and you just want to reach out to Jesus, then I just encourage you tonight to just pray along with me, that you would know the love of God in your heart, that you would experience our Father who deeply loves you, who wants to breathe His breath of life into your soul. You may feel really spiritually dead tonight and you need the love of God to bring you alive in Christ. Well, if that's you tonight and the Spirit has been stirring within you, why don't you pray with me? It's the quietness of your own mind. Lord Jesus, help me in my unbelief. Jesus, I want to know the love of God. Forgive me for my sin. Take hold of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. Our Father, I thank you that you've given us each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you that when we call upon your name, your ear is always attentive to us, your children. Stir within us up, Spirit, a deeper desire to desperately pray for each other. And I pray, Lord, that we will know the power and the strength of your Spirit in us, that we would be rooted deep in you, Jesus. We would experience your love each day of our lives. Jesus, hold us together. Hear our prayers for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.